Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone. An experience I can unfortunately speak personally to, but I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen. Hello, and welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Casey DeFreitas, and today I am joined by Zach Ryan.
Looking cool, Joker.
Tom Marks.
Hello.
And Brian Altano.
Persona.
We're all very excited for the Persona stuff coming to Smash Bros, especially Joker.
Yeah.
And Brian, welcome back. It feels like it's been forever.
It's been a long time, but I'm here. Yeah, I was traveling to PAX and Star Wars Celebration, but it's good to be back on NVC because I got to play a lot of Switch in my travels. It's a good thing that I have that system for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your favorite thing that you did in Boston?
For PAX?
Yeah.
I played a bunch of indie Switch games.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was better than the Italian food?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Good Italian food in Boston.
What do you mean? There's like a whole Italian district.
And there actually wasn't a lot of Star Wars news for Switch owners outside of Star Wars Celebration, except for Star Wars Pinball, which is the first Star Wars game coming to Switch.
You don't think Fallen Order is coming to Switch?
No.
I don't think so. I would love to be wrong about that one. I just don't see that happening.
But today we are going to be talking about the Switch Update 8.0, the Smash Update 3.0, mm-hmm. how we got our top 25 Switch games and a ton of other stuff. But first, let's talk about that Switch Update 8.0 because we've actually been able to test it a little bit.
That's right.
I think the most important thing that Brian and I agreed on is that you can now sort your Switch software.
Yes.
It's a tongue twister.
Finally.
Yeah, which is, it's good to know. If you've had a Switch since launch, like I believe everybody in this room has, right? And probably a lot of the people listening to the show, you've probably amassed a decent library. Also, if you're like all of us where you just, everything that goes up on the store, you're like, I need that on Switch, and you buy everything, you can finally organize that. There's some upsides and downsides to that. So the way you can sort is basically alphabetically by publisher or by title, which is probably the easiest way to find something, or by most recently used or most frequently used, which is kind of interesting because it now gives you sort of this like bird's eye view of the top five games that you've been playing on Switch the most.
As opposed to Labo VR, which gives you a bird's ass view.
That's true. You can put your head in that bird's butt. There we go. And so I think that's really cool to finally be able to sort your Switch games. The only thing it doesn't differentiate is the games that you have installed and uninstalled. Mm. So basically, it can alphabetize all your games. But if you're one of those people that have been micromanaging your SD card and, like, you know, you play a game like Wolfenstein or Wolfenstein. And you don't play it anymore, and you deleted it because it was 32 gigs, but you still have an icon there, that'll show up in your listing. Aww. So baby steps. We're getting there. Considering there are still no themes, there's still no, like, really big...
What are you talking about? There's two themes. Black and white.
Yeah. Or invert.
Yeah.
Secret third theme. The other thing you can do is you can enable Zoom from the system settings, which allows you to sort of have a much... I think there's only, like one or two icons on your homepage. This is obviously an accessibility thing, or if you really, really love... an icon.
Still no file in, though.
No.
I mean, as a guy that spends a lot of his time in spreadsheets and likes to group things together, like, it's kind of disappointing to me that I can't, like, lump groups of games together, like action games, racing games, RPG.
Yeah.
Even more than that, it's just the fact that you can't just, like, pin an individual game or two to the top of the list.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because, like, I'm always, since I bought my Switch, I think I've swapped out the cart that's in that system twice ever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And other than that, like, I always keep Zelda in my Switch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
Like, it's always there. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I could see, like, pinning a couple of things to, like, your homepage and being like, I just want these always accessible all the time.
Right.
Or folders, right? Like, I mean, I think that's
what I'm saying.
Thing.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I think what people really have been asking for, and it's something that, I mean, frankly, the Wii U is capable of doing.
Yeah.
Is folders. 3DS does it as well.
Because I'm trying to put, like, maybe sort games by genre, or putting things like third-party apps, like, you know, like Hulu or YouTube or something in the, like, different folders. Yeah.
Still, like,
it's
said,
just, it's nitpicky stuff.
Or you can just do what I do with, like, my phone and just not organize literally anything. And just
your life is chaos.
What, really? You have no folders on your phone?
Yeah, nope. I used to, and then I got a new phone, and I was too lazy to remake them, and I never did.
Honestly, I'm going to be completely, like, upfront with you. This sickens me.
Yeah. I just memorize where everything
is. That's chaos.
It's organized.
Wow. It's no good.
They also added a VR mode restriction option. Which sounded really cool until I read the second half of the sentence. No, so Nintendo obviously rolled out VR with Labo VR, and so you could go into your system settings and make sure your child or yourself never uses that option. So basically, you can block out VR entirely from the system.
Because the Labo VR came with a lot of the same warnings that the 3DS did back in the day, and I guess still does, but were more of a deal in the day.
Yeah. There are also 15 new system icons from Splatoon 2 and Yoshi's Crafted World.
Okay.
I had Woolly World down there. That'd be weird. That's not what that is.
Would it, though? It's, I mean,
who's out there using, like, system icons that aren't your me? Are you guys using system icons that aren't your me?
No, I use my me.
It's already hard enough to figure out, like, who's who when people are requesting your friendship on Nintendo Switch. Like, what kind of animal is out there using,
that's,
like,
the player profile?
Yes.
Icon? Yeah. I use Kappa. From
Animal Crossing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know people who use keys.
Look, I'm
going to
be upfront with you.
Link.
That sickens me.
We're just okay, Brian. It's your turn. You got to sicken Zach before the end of the show.
He gets 3 sickens per episode.
That's
he's
right.
Burning through them.
Yeah, if we get to all three, I'll throw up live on camera.
Yeah, I think most of my friends list is actually little Nintendo icons.
Yeah, like, I mean, so many links. Too many links. Please stop.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing that I really want in a system update is, like, the ability to actually identify who your friends are on that system. Because when I first got my Switch and I was adding a lot of people, it was really easy for me to be like, okay, this is Tom Marks and this is Brian, and, like, tag you guys with, like, best friend icons.
Right.
But I get a lot of friend requests, like, through the NVC voice chat podcast forums and I just don't know who those people are. You know, like it's really, really tough to identify, like what, you know, especially when they're not using their Miis as profile icons.
I actually haven't even looked in that friend request thing in so long because it like auto-populated through stuff like Miitomo and Mario Run, mm-hmm. which is just like, I believe that auto-populated through random people on iOS. So it's like a like a dude that had to text me for a thing once like years ago is now giving me a friend request on Switch.
This is a friendly space. You can say what he was texting you for. Drugs.
Buying mattresses. Yeah. No.
Yeah, there's one more feature.
You know Mattress Joe?
Yeah, Mattress Joe, the mattress king.
And Switch enthusiast.
That's yeah. right. One more thing, which I'm not sure exactly what's new here and what isn't. I haven't really had a chance to really dig into this, but it says a feature to transfer your save data is now available, allowing you to transfer your save data for individual games between your Nintendo Switch systems. Go to System Settings, Data Management, Transfer Your Save Data. Save data will not remain on your source system after the transfer process is complete. Obviously, this is something we've seen with the DS, 3DS line for years. It lends credence to the fact that there are rumors. The fact that there are rumors, not a real sentence, that there is Switch revisions on the way, right? We've heard that for a while. Yeah. We don't know how real that is or how fake that is. But making that ease of use better for everybody makes it, you know, maybe a little more possible.
So I'm looking at a wiki page that I wrote because it's been a while.
And it's confusing.
But we got cloud saves with Nintendo Switch Online. And, yep. Okay, that's the difference. To access cloud saves, you need to have a Nintendo Switch Online subscription, but to do regular save data transfers...
From system to system.
From system to system, you do not need an online account.
So you're saying...
But it'll delete the save data from the original system.
So this allows you to select individual saves and move them from system to system?
Without having a Nintendo Switch Online subscription.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's the benefit.
Right.
You no longer need an online account to transfer... System data.
I feel like this is just another one of those sort of things that we've been saying for years. Is like, why isn't this a thing on the Switch? And it's just slowly Nintendo is filling out that list and kind of going down it, which I appreciate.
Yep. Okay, and also the other thing, you would have to transfer your entire profile if you didn't have Nintendo Switch Online.
Right.
Previously.
Right.
So now you just need...
That's actually pretty great.
Yeah. That is okay. I understand why this is a big deal now. I have Nintendo Switch Online, so I was like, I don't get it. Like, why does this matter? But
do you think we're going to get a Switch revision because of this rumor?
I think we're going to get a Switch revision because of all the rumors about the Switch revision.
And cuz it's easy money for them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and like wouldn't you just transfer your whole account anyway if you got a new Switch?
Yeah, probably. And then I don't know what I would do with my old one. I would just let it sit there.
You would keep some games, like if you got an at-home console, and then on the Go console, you'll keep things like Zelda on your at-home console, and then, I don't know, things like SteamWorld Quest on your Go console.
The Nintendo Switch is already an at-home and on-the-go console.
Well, I can't, this is so duplicative. Why would you have an at-home and an on-the-go console? That defeats the purpose.
That's what people are saying they want. They want one that just stays attached to
their
TV.
Brings me to my next point. People are dumb.
I think they're rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Also rich.
And yeah, maybe.
I mean, I honestly can't say anything. I have three different 3DSs, so, you know.
Right.
I have nothing to say.
How do you keep track of what saves are on which 3DS?
You don't.
I transferred everything with each 3DS.
But you just still have so the other 3DSs, the two previous ones are just like shells of a
3DS. They're there, so I can be like, hey. You like games? Play Monster Hunter with me. And then I give them a 3DS with Monster Hunter, and then they have to.
Right.
If Casey can keep track of six pages of iPhone icons, I can trust that she can keep track of three 3DSs.
That's true.
Fair enough.
I imagine that there's no organizational system for those at home either.
There's not.
Just a mountain.
Just a drawer.
Just 3DS mountain.
You don't. Oh, it's bad. I have a Nintendo drawer, though, so at least I know all of my Nintendo stuff is in one drawer. All
right.
So we also have another really big update, and that's Smash 3.0.
Woo!
One woo. So with this, we have some free updates, but we also have a paid update in the form of the Challenger Pack that comes with Joker, his stage, and 11 new music tracks. And it's $5.99 for all of that. Man, I'm so excited to play as Joker. We're recording this before 6 p.m. on April 17th, so they're not available yet.
He's not there yet.
Yeah. Hype, 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 hype. Dude. Yeah. You don't understand. I feel like I played a 120-hour JRPG just to get to the moment last night where I was sitting on my couch watching this trailer going, the entire time.
Let's talk about that surprise indirect that happened yesterday.
Yeah, what? Like 15-minute long?
Yeah. They're just like,
video
hey, guess
about
what?
All it the new stuff?
It I really like indirect. That's, yeah. That's a good word for that.
It wasn't really a direct. It was just a trailer, but the trailer was just
but there were
so
many reveals
long.
In it. Yeah.
And very in-depth. It explained down to the T how Joker would work, like all of his moves, all of his gimmicks.
And it revealed Kirby's form when he eats Joker, which is pretty great.
Except it didn't show the part that I'm waiting for at 6 p.m., which is Kirby with a gun. Because it's going to just
got
be
a gun with Bayonetta, doesn't he?
Oh, does he? Is Bayonetta home?
Kirby owns, Kirby owns several guns.
Bayonetta's
Fox
guns.
Fox gun, Falco gun.
Right, but those
Wolf
are all
gun.
Sort of more fantasy guns, right?
Gatling gun.
The point of Joker's gun in Persona 5 is literally it looks so realistic that it looks like just a normal gun.
Oh, you're right. He actually buys model guns and takes them into people's subconsciouses. Some consciousnesses, and then they are recognized as actual guns.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I wore my Persona 5 hoodie just for today because I was so hyped on that.
For real?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Twitch.
Wow, it's the same
color. It's a similar couple of colors. Yeah.
Took me a minute.
I'm super hyped on this.
So Joker will be able to deflect damage with Rebel's Guard to fill up his Rebellion gauge, and when it's full, he can summon Arson, which is his persona, which then gives him a more powerful access to more powerful versions of his attacks. So his counter, instead of just absorbing half of damage, will actually become a counter and will change between a long-range counter and a close-range counter automatically depending on the moves, which is really cool. So he can deflect back bullets or punches with the same move.
Wow.
Interesting. And a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, like, what are you most excited about?
I think for me it's the all the little details. Mm-hmm. So like his final smash being the all out attack, which is real quick. Andrew Goldfarb, when they announced
May
Joker,
he rest in peace.
when they announced Joker at the Game Awards, he wrote this piece about speculating what his moves were going to be. And if you go back and read it, he basically nailed it 100%. Like he just absolutely killed it. He guessed that the level would be Mementos too.
It's almost as if Andrew was like crazy good at his job, and losing him as an employee here was a huge detrimental blow to our news team.
Especially because he was very sick at the Game Awards, so that's
he had diarrhea of the butt.
Didn't want to say that.
No.
Whoa. We started a joke in the crowd. Oh, and Zach and I were like in suits, and we started a joke that Goldfarb had diarrhea.
Because the joke came from we took a group photo. It was Max and I and. Funhouse is Alana and Andrew, and the three of us are like smiling and like, yay, we can't believe we're here. And then Andrew's just in the middle of us like this.
He's an uncomfortable face.
Yeah, exactly.
And, so I tweeted out the picture and I was like, we're all at the Game Awards and Andrew Goldfarb has diarrhea.
It's probably his most lasting legacy here. Yeah.
That and the Joker predictions.
Yeah, that's also true. I'm excited for this. Like, as a Persona fan, I think this is really cool. I'm just going to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fair. No, it's
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the detail of it was what impressed me most because the all-out attack really literally just looks like the exact same animation. Yeah. As from Persona 5. Well, and then they recreated his victory screen
that's the thing that really got me is that when you win first place as Joker, it does the whole lines of da-da-da-da-da. God, that is so cool.
It's not just a character.
Yeah.
It is really they took what was important about this character in the game he comes from and just
not just the game, the series. There's stuff from Persona. There's music and stages from Persona 3 and 4.
That's
there's characters from 4. Like,
Mementos is going to change his appearance depending on which game the soundtrack came from.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It didn't specify, but it's going to change between yellow, blue, and red. And red is obviously for Persona 4, Persona 5, and the other colors are for the other two.
Yeah.
It's really cool, and I'm just excited to listen to Last Surprise while playing Smash.
Yeah, me too. And can I get a little bit downer for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his kit really looks that cool or interesting to me at all. Like, why does Joker have a grappling hook? Joker has never had a grappling hook.
What about all those times that he does good grapples in the game?
Never.
No.
He doesn't use a grappling hook in Persona 5.
Doesn't he in one of the dungeons? Like in one of the cutscenes?
Okay, which one?
The opening one. Don't you grapple into the opening casino level?
I don't think so. He does a lot of tall jumps. If anybody can prove me wrong in that, please let me know because I would love to be proved wrong. But it's just like very odd to me that like that doesn't really feel very Jokery. But I'll shut up, I guess. Like, I'm excited for the character. I'm excited by how much love and stuff they brought into it. I'm really cool. It's really cool that they brought in Persona 3 and 4. But yeah, the actual moves are just kind of like the bare minimum, it feels like, yeah, compared to everything else being 10 steps ahead of what they needed to do. That's all.
And next week, we'll finally be able to... Oh, and also, his taunts is going to have Morgana on saying, looking cool, Joker.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. I love it. I love the other characters show up in Mementos, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's such a part of Persona, right? Is your friends and talking with everybody and the whole vibe of it. And, like, the fact that they were able to bring that into Smash 2 is so cool.
I think it's, like... I haven't played Smash in months. Like, I haven't touched it in a long time.
I'm
going to
go home and play this today.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. This is, it's such a stupid thing for me to, like, for this thing to be the thing that pulls me back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm really stoked to get back into it, play this character, check out some of the new stuff that I've missed over the last few months. Because, like, I haven't even played as Piranha.
What? I love Piranha.
No, you played a bit.
I did.
Yeah. I did an NVC with you about
That's right.
I love Piranha
Unless
Plant.
You
Piranha's great.
I went back and played as Piranha Plant and got really good as him. And
yeah,
I
he's kind of cool.
Destroy. I was... Totally surprised that I got so like decent at that.
It is. I think Smash is my second or third most played Switch game ever.
Wow,
which is saying a lot because I played a lot of Switch.
There's also an excellent Mario and an excellent Zelda on that system.
Yeah, but in between those is Fortnite. Believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my second most played game.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
As you're saying, it was an easy game to play with your newborn
on my paternity leave. Yeah, it was one where I could just jump in, between bouts of no sleep and feeding a baby to spend 45 minutes. Actually, I wasn't doing any of the feeding early on. We have a non-traditional parenting system. So I played a lot of Fortnite, but I'm excited to play Smash again because it was such a wonderful game, and I think we all played it at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and then we all sort of went to holiday break and then came back and then we're just playing other things.
I played a boatload of Smash over like our Christmas break,
mm-hmm.
but it was shortly after the Piranha update that I stopped.
Yeah,
like I don't know why. I think I just started to hit that gap that I hit in every video game ever, mm-hmm. where I was playing online a lot and I was just getting my ass whooped on every time, and it's just like, oh, I'm not getting any better at this. I quit.
But hey, so that's the paid update, but there's some free updates coming, including Stage Builder, which mm-hmm. you can freely draw,
really
you can include
cool.
front and back layers to make them decorative.
Oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
and like, new. By like freely draw, you can have the touch screen and then just like draw an outline and
yep.
like, choose the texture to fill in the outline of the stage. I'm super excited for it. It's one of the things I was disappointed about when Smash Ultimate first came out was the lack of this mode.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for it to be back in. And on top of that, you can now share and download those custom stages.
Thank you.
through Smash World, which is an app through the Nintendo Switch Online.
I've been
app.
To that website.
So I'm not totally sure how this is going to work. Again, we haven't been able to check it out or play it.
Yeah.
Well, so... breezing over
wrong.
Zach giggling to himself about that joke.
Bad Zach.
This is so. As much as I kind of have no love for the Nintendo app, I just
no.
This is the first thing that made me really go, man, this is a good use of
that. I legitimately forgot it existed until you mentioned it just now.
Right. And the thing that's amazing about this is like Stage Builder is really cool, and I'm really glad there's gonna be Stage Builder. And it looks really cool. I like the decorative stuff. But the fact that I can on the train open up that app and browse the most popular levels and be like, oh, this looks like a cool level, and literally you can press a button to queue it to download on
yeah,
your
that's
Switch.
Really cool.
That rules.
And then I get to work and I go, hey, Zach, Casey, you guys want to see this new level I just found? And we plug in the Switch and it's done
already
downloading.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
That's going to make this significantly more usable
to
me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time I used that app was no joke to get a leather jacket in Splatoon 2.
That was probably the last time I used it as well. Yeah, it was to do the shopping in Splatoon. Yeah.
Which was cool. I mean, there was like an incentive to go there all the time. And so hopefully they do that with more and more games.
I do have a confession. I do not have that app.
Mm,
I just
right.
never downloaded it.
You might there's... have that app, but you wouldn't know it on your phone.
Yeah,
I know what apps I have.
Also, I've never seen anybody with so many apps.
I don't have
enough apps to fill
I'm just like, oh,
pages.
There's a sale. I can get 20% off if I get the app. Okay.
So frugal. So frugal.
I got tricked into downloading the Starbucks app recently.
Really?
Yeah, they're advertising matcha lattes on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, I'll get a free matcha latte if I download. No, it was just an advertisement to the app. I did not.
You didn't get a matcha latte?
No, it was just an advertisement. There was no discounts, then, free.
Did you delete nothing. The app?
No.
There you go.
Just still there.
We found the root of the problem.
We have a problem.
I'm excited for the video editor in this, too, if I may say so.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were showing off that you can clip together different Smash clips, and you can put them together, add little effects, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. And as soon as they showed this, again, the fact that they're basically making a little social media network app that is just for goofy Smash Bros. Clips yep. is super funny mm-hmm. and neat to me.
No, mm-hmm. that's awesome. One thing we didn't mention is in one of the images that they released
Of the stage builder.
Of the stage builder. Nintendo proposed, like, you can make a level that looks like a giant green witch hovering over an evil cauldron with a bat. And, of course, Nintendo fans, because we're insane, were like, that's Gruntilda from Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
Grunty's coming back.
Yeah, so now there's this, like, crazy awesome fan theory that Grunty and Banjo are all going to show up in Smash. Which, who knows, right?
It would be great.
Who knows? I wouldn't rule it out.
Nintendo and Microsoft are pretty chummy these days.
They're doing that thing where two fingers wrap around each other. It sounds worse when you describe it than when just saying, you know, like a finger.
Cross your fingers. It's called crossing your fingers.
Okay, yes, correct.
Is it? Well, that's a different thing, right? I don't even know.
No, we're like together like this.
It's called a matcha latte.
Get the app.
No.
So yeah, we'll see. I'd be totally into that. I personally think this is just a regular witch.
I mean, most generic
standard witch
are green yeah. with big noses and yeah. hats and have cauldrons. That's just stereotypical witch stuff.
That's true. This is your standard issue Halloween time witch.
I don't think anybody saw Gruntilda and was like, "That's creative character design." Back when Banjo-Kazooie first came out, they were like, "Oh, it's a witch."
What creative character design yeah. was. Back
Keep in
then.
Mind, 90% of rare characters are take household objects. Object, put googly eyes on it and let it wiggle. Which is fine.
I also like the fact that the upvoting system in this is called
yes.
And if you yeah something, you can un-yeah it, which is like what?
You gotta take it back.
Wasn't that the system for the Wii U?
Was it also yeah and yes? un-yeah?
I really like that word. They should use that word in divorce court.
Yeah.
My wife and I are getting un-yeah'd.
It's a conscious un-yeah.
No more
un-yeah'd.
Yes. I'm all out of yes for you.
Oh, man.
We got the giggles today. I'm sorry, yeah. everyone.
Did we?
It's just that witch, you know?
Did we mention the, forgive me if we did, the DLC spirits, too, that are coming with Joker?
No, I mean, I don't think we talked about the hats
also,
either.
You also will get access to a special spirit board with all the different spirits. So
yeah.
Like Yusuke and Morgana and like all of his friends are all going to be available as spirits.
That means they all get their own fights. That mm-hmm. means there's going to be a fight
right.
that is based off of Ryuji and fight that's based off of Yusuke. And mm-hmm. that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like that's one of those things that this is.
Yusuke is probably like Bowser Jr.
What?
Yeah.
Bowser Jr.
Yeah,
when you think like Marth?
Like he's out there like painting.
No, Marth. Definitely Marth.
Sword and blue hair.
All right, let's make our predictions. So Yusuke's going to be Marth.
Yeah.
That's Bowser Jr. I just said it.
No.
Because he's a painter.
Because he's a painter?
Yeah.
Mm.
But he's got swoopy blue hair.
Mm.
So, I mean, so do half the people that work in this office. That doesn't mean
That's
anything.
That's true, yeah.
Huh. Who has blue hair?
That's just a metaphor. Don't worry about it. Let's move on.
Zach is legally blind.
That's true. That's why I wear these thick specs.
And I guess it's a good thing we got that zoom in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Play every game.
Haru will be Peach with weapon, right? Probably.
Yeah.
And then... Let's see. There's got to be others. The Incineroar. Right?
And An will be
An will be Incineroar because she's a panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Fire Panther,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
and
exactly.
Then,
that's pretty good.
I'd go Isabelle for Morgana, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a dog
yeah.
to a cat, so that might be a little weird, but I don't know.
I think it'll be fine.
Could also, I don't know, maybe.
Those are very, very loose predictions.
I feel like Ryuji could be like Lil Mac.
The funny thing is, by the time yeah. people listen to this, it's all going to be out, so
yeah.
we're just going to be completely
matter.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Who knows? Just reminding you guys, we have not been able to play the new Smash update, so.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're just lucky we got news before the show recorded.
Yes,
yeah.
It's the first
yeah.
time it's ever happened
first
in the
history
of Nintendo voice chat.
It's because they got to queue it up before.
They're
so going to
drop, we're jinxing ourselves right now, they're going to drop something even bigger tonight. So.
While we're in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, also coming out this
oh,
week
hey.
Are uh-huh. our... updated top 25 Switch games.
That's true.
Oh, that's right.
When is that
yes.
video going live, Zach?
It should be up. By the time you're listening to this, it should be live on IGN.com and YouTube.com as well.
Cool. Along with some crazy Nintendo scoop we don't know.
That's
probably.
Yeah, that's probably right.
And the four of us, along with Pear, mm-hmm. all discussed mm-hmm. our top 25 games mm-hmm. compared to Fall's update.
Yes. So the way that we handle all these top 25 updates is we take the list from the previous
quarter?
Top 25. Yeah, no, we do them biannually. So we do like a fall update and a spring update. So a few weeks ago, we got in a room and took a look at the fall 2018 update and made a big list of all the games that we wanted to champion to make the list. And then once we decide what's going to be put on the list, we have to decide what's going to be moved around, what's going to be taken off, things like that. And so honestly, it's like a pretty amicable meeting. I think everybody kind of gets in a room and has a couple of games that they really, really want on the list. And then there's a lot of also like, well, okay, I'm okay with this game being at this if we move this one up or we take this one off. Or,
yeah. You know, This is a really cool time to do this list specifically because the Switch is in its sophomore year, basically.
Right? And there's a ton of cool stuff that came out between the fall release or the fall list and this spring list. So really quickly, the things that we dropped off of the list this time around, Blossom Tales, Super Mario Party, Kirby Star Allies, Minecraft, Overcooked 2, Night in the Woods, Shovel Knight, Octopath Traveler, and Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, when you hear that list of games, you're like, oh my god!
So there's,
really good.
What did you keep?
There's a couple of things like Octopath Traveler. We had a really really long conversation about because IGN as an outlet gave the game 9.3. Seth Macy, who may be on the show next week, actually, he reviewed that game for us. He absolutely loved it. But like the fact of the matter is, not a lot of people in our office finished that game. Like, I didn't finish Octopath Traveler, so I didn't feel super comfortable putting this game on our list, having not seen it all the way through to the end.
Mm-hmm. We also, like, we sort of look at genre representations as well, and we're like, is this the RPG that people should be playing? And I mean, yes, right? It's a great game, but we've sort of found there were stronger ones.
Yeah.
But,
and then, like, for something like The Elder Scrolls, like, that game is amazing. It's one of the best games of all time, obviously, objectively, I would even say. But it's better elsewhere. Like, it's good on the Switch, but it's better elsewhere.
It's also a game where, in 2019, would you recommend that somebody buy a Switch? If somebody just bought a Switch, is one of the 25 games you'd tell them to immediately buy Skyrim?
Only if they had not played games since, like, 2010.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, we've mentioned this kind of mentality before, but, like, when a game falls off the list, it doesn't mean it sucks. It just means it, like, it would be 26, 27, or 28, 29, 30, 30, 32. Or so it's close, right? But you have to pick 25.
There was only one on this list of games that we dropped that really hurt my feelings, and that was Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight's one of my all-time favorites, and I was bummed to see that one go, but we had to let go of a lot of games because we added games like Guacamelee 2, Yoshi's Crafted World, Warframe, Dark Souls, Pokemon Let's Go, Wargroove, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and much to Brian Altano's chagrin, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
I like that game.
That was the thing you fought for.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's a funny story because after we put out our fall list, I had so many people tweet at me and like sound off in the comments and say, hey, you guys left Tropical Freeze off the list and that's crazy. That's such a good platformer.
Right.
And so I went back and I had not previously finished it, so I went back and started it over and played all the way through it, and then came into the room like pretty hot and was like, yo, we got to put this game on the list because it is an outstanding platforming game.
Yeah, it's definitely an excellent game. It's just not my favorite style of platform.
Your forte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation about Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. Mm-hmm. I had a fight for that.
Yeah. I think it ended up at 17.
Yeah, it dropped four spots, which I was fine with.
Yeah.
But we had a conversation like, well, would this be recommended to everyone? And I guess the answer to that is no, but would Dark Souls be recommended to everyone? And the answer to that is no.
Also no.
Yeah.
So
I'll add too that like, and Zach's been working on these lists long enough to remember this kind of stuff, but like this far into, I'd say like the Wii U's life, this was a sort of a different conversation. A, picking 25 games, and B, seeing this many things move around. As the console progresses towards its inevitable sunset, the lists only get easier to make because you can sit back and sort of definitively say, this is the list. No new games have been added. But so many games come out for Switch so often that this is such a moving target for us. And because of that, I like to look at the first year's list, which I wish we could archive in some way, and sort of say like, hey, like in the first year, Blossom Tales was one of the top 25 games to play. Slime Sound was one of the top 25 games to play. And I'm proud that we were able to take those indie games and put them alongside stuff like Zelda and Mario and stuff. And in the second year and third year, like I hope we can sort of continue to bring that balance of like really awesome independent games and great AAA stuff, first party stuff, and all that. So
yeah, but ultimately these lists are about reader service, right? So every day with a system like the Switch that's selling just like selling all the time, right? There's new people that are coming to this platform and saying like, hey, what game should I be playing right now? And so curating a list of what we think are the best 25 games is really important, not only from like a business perspective, but also just like, I love to do this kind of thing. Like one of the things that always kind of struck me about the final Wii U list that we made was literally we got in a room and we were like, okay, put Breath of the Wild at number one and push everything back one spot. Because like there were so few releases by the time we got to the end of that life cycle.
Right.
So it's nice to kind of go through and like there are games on this list that I haven't had an opportunity to play yet, but Tom is so adamant about like, hey, that needs to be at number 12 or above that it's like, oh, okay, I need to, you know, pay more attention to this thing that maybe I've missed out on myself. So
it's one of those things where there's absolutely no right answer.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So when we're in the room fighting with each other, that translates. The comments are think that that's the first time that battle is happening. It's not.
Yeah.
It's when we're in the room and we're yelling things at each other. Like,
yeah, we do yell. Yeah. Not like yell, but
it's like
you know.
It's like loving, caring.
We get passionate,
gentle
about
yell.
Our discussions.
But yeah, we're loud. Like there are certain. I mean,
it's
I don't know.
Like game of the year bloodbath.
No,
but,
that is
no. No, but there is a lot of like I will look Tom dead in the eye and tell him that a game he loves sucks, even if I didn't play much of it. But
Hollow Knight,
he did.
Still
on
the
list. Hollow Knight a lot.
Yeah, and
no,
actually, we did actually give Tom like quite a bit of guff about Hollow Knight.
Yeah,
but then that was one of the few games that not only stayed on the list but didn't move. Yeah. It didn't move up or down. It's still right there at number 18. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should have had the full list out ahead of us.
But
yeah, because real quickly, we should just go through that list. But
one of the things,
give me some Wii Shop background music while I get this in.
It's crazy to think what Smash and Pokemon were, and New Super Mario Brothers were. I would say three of the biggest ones that launched since our last. Which is crazy.
So do you want to read the list out to us?
Yep. I'm gonna start at number 25.
Beautiful.
Guacamelee 2, Puyo Puyo Tetris. Yoshi's Crafted World, Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, Warframe, Fortnite, Dark Souls Remastered, Hollow Knight, Pokemon Let's Go, Wargroove, Monster Hunter Ultimate Generations. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate? What happened?
Impossible to know.
Oh no.
I don't know who wrote that script.
We should check that video, Zach. New Super Mario Bros. U, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Stardew Valley, Diablo 3.
And then this
3.
Is the top 10 starting here. Yeah.
Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, Splatoon 2, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, Celeste, Dead Cells, SteamWorld Dig 2, Mario Kart 8, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Shocking, I know.
Yeah. So I think one of our discussions during this hour-long discussion is like, what would ever knock down Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, and also what's crazy about that, especially, that makes it so magical, is that that is a game that launched the second the system came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means that the Nintendo Switch, for as far as we can tell, had its number one game on day one, and I don't ever really see that changing.
It's the greatest launch title of all time.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands down. Yeah. I think, like, I don't know if... We're like what, a year and a half away from new next gen consoles. They're not gonna have a Breath of the Wild. They're just not. I love PlayStation. I love Xbox. They're not gonna have a Breath of the Wild. They just won't.
Probably not.
And another interesting thing is that we knocked down Odyssey for Smash Ultimate.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Odyssey
was
neck and neck that year for Game of the Year our discussions. So Smash Bros. Ultimate is really good.
Here comes Tom.
Was it though?
What?
Odyssey?
Neck and neck for Game of the Year discussions?
I
think Ryan was...
Yeah, it was.
All right.
When we tallied everything in 2017, Odyssey was very, very close to Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also think it had a leg up because it had come out more recently as well, so people were playing it like at that moment as we were having those discussions.
So the list obviously speaks for us, but I mean, had Odyssey and Smash come out the same year, which would you guys have chosen as your Game of the Year?
So if you're saying if... Odyssey had been pushed to
2018.
I still probably Smash. Yeah. I like Odyssey a lot, but I think it's a very good 3D Mario. I still think Galaxy and 64 are better 3D Mario games.
I do too, and I understand that like on a scale, scope, technical levels, Odyssey obviously surpasses those games, but I think that like the sheer focus of something like Mario 64, sort of hyper streamlining the collectibles and tying them to specific goals, and less so this like large meandering, just sort of like haphazardly strewn about collectible, you know, collectathon like Mario Odyssey is. I feel like with so many moons everywhere in Odyssey, it sort of devalues them a little bit.
Well, like here, the best way to sum it up for me is like, I found every single moon and every single collectible in 64 and Galaxy and Galaxy 2. There's still probably 200 moons in Odyssey that I've never gone back to find, and you know,
right.
And I still occasionally will pop it on like Saturday morning or something and be like, oh yeah, let's just run around this kingdom and see what's up. But like, it's not something that has compelled me to like, you know, like you tore through it and got every one that you could possibly get in like the first 2 weeks that game was out. I finished the like game itself and then went back and started working my way through the worlds and then moved on to something else.
Right.
Too many moons.
Yeah. It's a lot of moons.
I also think it has worse ice levels and no hub.
Oh, those ice levels are bad.
Yeah. 64.
Makes me sick.
It's the way to go. Bring that game back.
Yeah.
So we do have some news, and by some I mean very, very small amounts, but Picross S3 was announced and it's coming out on April 25th.
Disclaimer. You mean the biggest news?
Per Schneider made us put this on the runner show.
If he hadn't, I would have. Dude, I'm hyped.
He definitely didn't make me. I just did it. Per
came up to my desk this morning. He's like, Brian, they're putting Picross out. And he goes, oh, they took a year off. And I was like, oh, like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. He showed me in the middle of a meeting. He came over and he had it on his phone. And he was like,
yeah. No, he did the same thing to me. Like, right
we're
after
in a
that,
meeting.
Like, yeah. He loves it.
After that huge presentation they had today, and he comes up to me right now. I was like, Casey, look. Cross.
I'm with him. I love these games. He is so much better at them than I am. I play with hints and everything, and like if I do the hint and it doesn't do a full row for me, I just restart it and do another hint. He plays with no hints. He's like, yeah.
I want to let you guys in on a little secret. And maybe, hopefully, Per doesn't listen to this episode.
He does listen. He's shown pictures of him driving his car to work listening to the show.
All right, maybe I'll save it for later then.
You've never played these games?
No.
These games?
Every time I see Per log on Switch and his little icon pops up and it's like, Per is playing Picross, I screen grab it on my Switch.
Really?
And I'm putting together a gallery of him just constantly playing Picross.
I'm not going to lie.
I think I have like 25 pictures of it now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not going to lie. I might not be exaggerating when I say this is as exciting an announcement for me as the Joker reveal.
What?
Like, I
would say this is more exciting for me than Joker.
I know. Dude. Jonathan Dornbush is also incredibly excited for this. Yeah.
I am very hyped for this because Per and I have talked about this. Nobody does Picross games on the Switch like these Jupiter ones, right? Like, it's all Picross and the other ones are fine enough, but they're just so well done by Jupiter that I'm very, very, very
Is it time for me to play
a Picross?
I've never played Picross.
I know they had one on 3DS, but I want a new one on the Switch.
The thing is, Zach, the way I'm talking about it, though, like, you're going to play it and you're going to be like, what's the deal? It's just a puzzle game. And like, yeah, it is. It's just a puzzle game. It's not like this mind-blowing thing. It is just so much fun and it is so addictive for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just sorted my games on my Switch by most played, and Picross 1 and 2 are both in my top 16.
Mm.
So I'm into them. They're fun. They're extremely slow, not tedious, but just very, like, the payoff is so stupid. Like, you poke little squares on a screen for hours, and all of a sudden it goes, dun, 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 and it zooms out, and there's just, like, a picture of, like, a rake, and you're like, yeah. Like, it's... It's hard to explain. Like, if I send you a low-res photo of a rake, you'd be like, what's wrong with you, you drunk? But in a video game,
you earned
game of the
that
year,
rake.
You earned it, yeah.
There's a special rake you spent 3 hours on getting.
Congrats.
Yeah, there's a timer in the corner, too, being like, you should have gotten that rake faster. So it is what it is.
So there's also another very small announcement. Box Boy and Box Girl demo is out now, and that game's coming out on April 25th, but you can play the demo.
And I will.
Yeah. It's a fun little demo. Yeah. It's not very long.
I don't know if this
you played
is what
it earlier today.
I did.
Nice.
Do you know if there's co-op in it?
There is. It's two different sets of levels. One is single player. One is co-op.
Oh, cool. So this is what I played at PAX. Yeah, this is a blast. Okay. I really like the co-op stuff in this game. It's super fun.
Are you playing as Quibi? Quibi?
No,
Quibi?
It's all one by Box Boy and Box Girl.
Okay.
Also, they announced the price for this game today, and it's only $9.99.
Oh,
that's great.
Which is awesome. I thought it would be a little more than that. So
damn, that's less than $10.
Yeah, just under $10, they say.
Wow.
So there are some games that are out this week. So let's talk about that, especially Katana Zero, which we talked about that week of GDC.
Yes.
You got to play this.
I did play it. I've played the demo. I played it at GDC, but I've not yet played the full game.
Neither.
Much to Mitchell Saltzman's chagrin, because he was very excited for me to play it. But
I'm about halfway through the full game right now.
What? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know we had in the office until today when I saw it on Mitchell's screen, and I was like, what? You're reviewing this game?
I think I'm about halfway.
But his review should be up by the time you're listening to this, and he's giving it an 8.7. Mm-hmm, and here's Mitchell Saltzman's verdict. Katana Zero's time-bending samurai action is the star of the show here, but its unique presentation and entertaining dialogue go a long way in supporting a plot that suffers from feeling like it's saving its best ideas for a sequel. As action games go, Katana Zero's shorter length makes it a quick fix, and I'll no doubt suffer withdrawal while I wait for the next hit.
Ooh, wow. Drug stuff.
All right. There's only one.
It is an edgy game. So.
There's only room for one ninja in my heart, and right now,
the messenger.
That's Okami, the wolf with one arm from Sekiro.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought
you meant Okami, the wolf
from Okami.
That's different. Okami.
that's different. Yeah.
Okami means god.
Well, they call him Okami a lot in that game.
Really?
I guess technically his name is Sekiro, the one armed wolf. But yeah.
What is?
Doesn't matter.
Maybe I'm just
forget
wrong.
It. I'm sorry for mentioning the other game on the Nintendo podcast.
No, not at all. But like I said, this is a game I played. I'm super looking forward to playing more of it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's $14.99, and it's out on April 18th.
Yep. The presentation of this game is really cool. It's you go basically on murder missions, and at nighttime or the day after, you talk to your therapist.
Right, yeah.
After drinking tea.
Yeah, who's sort of just like, hey, how are you handling all this? And you're like, not well. And he's like, well, I have more assignments for you. And you go kill more people.
Your therapist is the one that's telling you to kill these folks?
Yeah, so your therapist is also like your hitman contractor or whatever.
Seems like a bad idea for a therapist.
Yeah, and it's a side-scrolling hack and slack action game. You can throw pots and plants at people and cut off heads. It's violent as hell.
And
you'll die a lot, but it's got that sort of Hotline Miami thing where you
just like immediately, yeah.
And it kind of is built into the story because your character is using his future telling skill to be able to like see
precognition
to like see the future. So your playthroughs when you die are just him seeing the future and be like, okay, that won't work. Okay, that won't work. And then when you finally get through, that's just him finding a solution.
Yep.
So it's like precognition. Trying to combat some sort of like ludonarrative dissonance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. Also out this week is Cuphead, which we talked about a lot. We gave it an 8.8. It's out April 18th for $19.99. It is a difficult side-scrolling game with beautiful 2D animation.
Like
old-school cartoon.
I've been playing Cuphead on Switch here for a while now, and like every time I pick it up, I'm floored by the way that game looks. Nothing looks like it. Like, it looks like nothing else. It's amazing.
It's really, really beautiful.
Well, it's also hard as hell.
Yes.
So hard.
Is it so hard that people who want to play it and aren't that great at games won't be able to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're not... Think of the hardest, like, Gunstar Heroes game you ever played.
Okay.
And it's like that, except harder.
It's also, I think it sort of gets pinned to be a platforming game, and it looks like that
it's
in screenshots.
It's not. It's a shooter.
Yeah. It's more... It feels
run
more...
Run and gun?
Well, so there's... Kind of, the levels are broken up in, like, there's boss fights, there's run and gun levels that are the closest to platformers, and then there's these shmup levels as well, where you're just, like, in a plane.
That was the word I was trying to think of.
Yeah, and so the boss levels are by far, like, the main attraction, because those bosses are just absolutely insane and gorgeous to watch. The other two level styles are, like, fine, but Cuphead overall is about... you're out to collect these contracts, these like souls from these bosses, and so like they really pull out all the stops on all the bosses, and like they really make for some cool encounters.
And there are some songs.
The music is
really
nuts.
Funny lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's all very old timey.
So, would you recommend
if you were looking for like, something challenging for sure?
Yeah. I was bouncing back and forth between Cuphead and Sekiro one weekend, and that was just
why would you do
idea.
That to yourself?
It was a terrible idea.
No,
it's the most angry I've ever been.
You gotta play some Animal Crossing or something.
Yeah, in between. Well, I've since gone. Now I've been switching between Sekiro and Yoshi.
Okay,
I was doing that a couple really weeks ago, great, and I was trying to find the parallels, and I did. One, they're both Japanese, and two, they both have an appendage that can
Dragon
extend
rot.
And grab things.
Mm-hmm.
And Yoshi uses his tongue, and Sekiro's his arm.
Mm-hmm. Yoshi lost an arm too, right?
Yeah, Yeah, there's a cutscene at the beginning of Crafted World where a ninja cuts off Yoshi's.
It's very violent.
And then
taking that, they're taking that
one.
Franchise in interesting new directions.
Yep.
Yeah, that little nub, that's actually just a missing arm.
Yoshi's crafted arm.
So also coming out this week is actually a port from a PC game that came out earlier this year, is My Time at Portia.
Yep.
This was reviewed by Miranda on the PC. She hasn't, no one's been able to play it on the Switch yet, but she gave it an 8 out of 10 on the PC. And it's a pleasant post-apocalyptic game, which is a town builder. Have you played it?
I have.
Oh, you have played
on
it?
On Switch. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
And so my biggest issue with this game were the loading times were really bad, and they just updated it. So it's much better. I was looking for an Animal Crossing style game because I love Animal Crossing. We don't have Animal Crossing yet. This is not that. But it's close. It's got a lot more crafting elements. I would say it feels more like a 3D Stardew Valley.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
But it's really adorable. You played it on PC?
Yeah, I've played a fair amount of it.
It's cool. It's it unfolds very slowly and then in a Minecraft sort of way. Once you start getting the construction of basic tools down, everything opens up. Mm-hmm. And you can start sort of tearing down trees and patching things up and building things and... you can fight a dude in town, which I was surprised at.
Yeah.
Challenge him to a duel.
There's lots of that relationship building stuff with the people in town. The main difference between Stardew and this is that besides it being 3D, is that you're like a builder rather than a farmer. So you're you're building things and you're building devices that help you build other things rather than like planting crops.
Right. Can you do any kisses? You out there doing kisses?
You can date.
I think so.
I think so. This verdict says... You can tame wild llamas and date.
Oh,
wait, is that
you can date the llamas.
Is that what that's saying?
That's no, illegal.
From mining,
not an Animal Crossing.
Okay, here's the full sentence. From mining to taming wild llamas to dating, there's a lot to do here, and I'm still discovering and unlocking new and unusually interesting things.
Dating llamas.
I think those are three
Miranda.
Different things.
Those are all three very different things.
Yeah. You cannot dating llamas is unusually interesting.
You cannot mine for dateable llamas.
Why not?
At least I don't know. That might be in the post game.
Somebody out there make that game, though.
Yeah.
We got to mine dateable on it. Like a Gacha Llama dateable game. I play it.
I'm into it.
So, hey, also coming out this week on April 16th, which is in the past for whoever is listening now, it's Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD Remaster for $49.99. So, two games, $50. These were very well-loved games when they came out.
Yeah.
I played them
Are all of the announced Final Fantasy games out on Switch now, aside from
Final
Crystal
Fantasy,
Chronicles?
Final Fantasy XII isn't out until the end of the month.
Right.
And then Crystal Chronicles isn't
out
yet.
What about 8?
8 is lost to the flow of time forever. Yeah.
Why?
There's a lot of different rumors flying around about Final Fantasy VIII. The biggest one is that they legitimately lost the code for the game. Like, the game just doesn't exist anywhere. It's on PC, but it doesn't exist anywhere else.
Oh, my God.
You can play it on Steam. Right, I think. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I instinctively asked you because you're a PC guy, but I know that you don't play every PC game. I'm sorry, that was rude.
Casual.
Yeah.
Get
you
good,
keep
Tom.
Talking. I'll look it up.
But 8 is one of those, and I love Final Fantasy 8, and so I was bummed when they were like, when they did all those announcements, they're like, that's right, every Final Fantasy 7. Not 8. 9. 10. Definitely
11.
Not 8. Yeah. I was like, well, okay.
10-2.
Yeah.
10-3.
These, what can I do for you?
10 and 10-2.
Not 8.
Not 8. 10 and 10. Well, 10 specifically, I feel like, has the same thing going for it as Final Fantasy 7 had going for it when it launched, in that, like, it was the first Final Fantasy on a PlayStation 2. It was the first Final Fantasy with any sort of voice work. And it was a lot of people, like, younger than my generation, probably like closer to your generation. That it was like their first JRPG experience.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
right.
It holds a very like lofty spot in people's hearts for Final Fantasy games. And a lot of people love and consider Final Fantasy X the best Final Fantasy. I don't put myself in that camp. I think it's fine. But it's a cool game. The HD remaster looks really good. And I do think Blitzball is like one of the best Final Fantasy
games. The Blitzball theme song is just really cool and hardcore.
It's great. Yeah.
So these
it's like
are
math soccer. It's very good.
These are $50 each?
No, it's $49.99
for both. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And you can't buy them individually, right?
I don't think so. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked on all of the games coming out this week and it did not list them individually.
Tom, what'd you find out about 8?
Yes.
It is on Steam.
It's on Steam.
Yeah, that's right. Cool.
And we missed a few things last week, but I definitely thought they were worth mentioning.
Objection!
Exactly. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, a trilogy came out last week, which I think is obviously well worth it. It was one of the best series on the DS.
I love Phoenix Wright.
Why don't we have him in Smash?
That'd be good. He was in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, right.
Now I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I love that.
Give us the thing. And also out last week was Senua's Sacrifice, which was very Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice.
And that game looks very nice on Switch. Yeah.
Which is good, because it was a very pretty game, and I was worried that it might look kind of meh on Switch.
That's
but
fair.
It's always good when pretty games make the translation well.
Yeah. A lot of people were wondering how they got that game running on there. Mostly Magic, but also it's fairly a linear experience.
And fairly short, like 10 to 15 hours?
Yeah.
Like max?
Yeah, if not shorter than that. And it's also like a lot of the enemy encounters are pretty minimalist. Like you're not really fighting like waves of people. So
you're
It's very story heavy without there being a lot of narration, I guess.
Yeah. Kind of. That's a strong candidate for a good set of headphones.
Yes.
In fact, it says so, like, right
you
when
need,
you boot it up.
Basically need a good set of headsets to experience the game the way it was meant to be experienced.
Yep.
But hey, it's about that time. It's about all the recent stuff we had to talk about. But we need a question block now.
Yes.
And Zach pulled out one question from nvc@ign.com. If you guys have questions, please email us at nvc@ign.com.
Mm-hmm.
This was a wonderful question.
Do you want me to read it?
Read it, Zach. Do it with the honors.
We didn't write down. This is JVW who writes into us, and he says, "Hey NVC, I just want to say that I love listening to your podcast, and I think you are all great." Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a question for you that requires a bit of role play. Pretend that one day an evil wizard appears and puts a curse on you that prevents you from playing a video game again. If you try to play a video game, it will automatically corrupt or stop working. Luckily, the evil wizard has a twin brother who's kind of a good wizard. Although he is unable to reverse his brother's curse, he can gift you with a Nintendo Switch loaded with your 5 games of choice that are immune to the curse. Which 5 Nintendo Switch games would you choose, knowing that they are the only video games that you would ever be able to play for the rest of your life?
Okay, I appreciate the world building narrative that he did.
But also, it's just, what are your 5 Desert Island games? Very good. Very nice. But
we didn't really need the ultra powerful, magical twin wizard.
This is a classic, like, right into your favorite podcast question. He went the extra yard.
He did.
This is why it's different. If there were Desert Island games, online games would not be applicable to this.
Exactly.
So this is an important distinction.
Okay.
This is different.
Because also, like, something that an online game, like, you could theoretically put Fortnite on your list and it would still function. And if it was a Desert Island game, it would not function.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Assuming we continue to live in this world with twin wizards.
Yeah.
Did they stop here or are they doing other stuff? And is it selfish of me to play video games during this troubled time?
When you know there's a crisis going on?
Yeah.
No, that's what the good wizard's for.
Like, if this dude's like Thanos snapping stuff out of existence everywhere and I'm like, oh, Zelda. Like,
the evil wizard got mad at you for having too many games in your backlog and decided to punish you by taking all games away from you.
Seeing my Switch, that is a justifiable thing to get mad at me for.
Okay, so top 5 games that you would take. I wrote mine down. I'll go ahead and start.
I did too.
So let me open this up here.
And this is stuff that's out already, right?
So,
yes, that's how the wizard goes.
Can I just wait to get my Switch later? Like, can I be like, hey, good wizard, can you come back and lift
No,
all?
You can't put Animal Crossing on your list.
I want to put Pokemon on my list.
That makes sense. Okay,
you
so
can put
my
last year's Pokemon on your list.
I
doesn't have enough content.
I went open world and collectible heavy on mine. So my list is first and foremost Breath of the Wild. I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Skyrim. Even though it didn't make our top 25. Super Mario Odyssey. And then the last two I took a left here. Mario Kart 8, because I feel like Mario Kart 8 is a game that I can just play anytime and I'm never tired of it. And Dark Souls, because I love Dark Souls.
Well,
and it's very hard, and I feel like I still haven't seen everything that game has, even though I've played it multiple times, and I'd love to get in there and beat up those bad demons and get real good at it, and just love a good Dark Souls.
Are we? Can we count something like the Nintendo Switch Online app that has?
That's cheating.
That has new games every month.
No, that doesn't count.
No. What about Fortnite?
Fortnite counts.
Why does Fortnite count when Fortnite constantly gets new updates for?
Because that's one game that has new updates instead of an app with multiple games.
Listen to the wizard, man.
How do you feel about the twin wizards justifying this logic here? I don't think they.
Okay. Well, let's just say it's fine. Okay. You want the Nintendo Switch Online app?
Yes. No, because look at the wording. I'm getting pedantic.
Okay, let's get particular.
With this. He's unavailable to reverse the curse that would stop a game from working if you tried to play it, but he can give you a Nintendo Switch loaded with five games.
Oh.
It doesn't say that that Nintendo Switch loaded with five games does not have access to the internet. It doesn't say that the other curse would stop the internet from working.
Okay, but I couldn't go on the eShop and download new games.
No, because they'd stop working. That's part of the original curse.
But I could update the Nintendo Switch Online app, the NES Online app.
But those are individual games. It's not apps, it's games.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with those, the pedantic.
So this dude is trying to take the only three apps on Switch and get rid of them as well? So I can't even get watch Hulu or YouTube?
Those aren't games.
Those aren't games. Those are apps, my
dude. I think
dude.
This wizard sucks. Okay, Zelda, Fortnite, Smash Brothers. I want to pick a puzzle game here, so probably either... I honestly don't see how people play Picross over and over again. It
Puyo
took me
Puyo Tetris.
Puyo,
yeah, that works.
Yeah, I would say Picross is actually a bad choice too, because clearly Jupiter's not going to release DLC. They're just going to release new games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that doesn't count.
And then my fifth, I'm narrowing it down between Minecraft, Dark Souls, Diablo, and Skyrim. Something that I can.
Those
do
are
solo.
The hard. Those are the ones I'm trying to like pick between two.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Diablo would have been a good choice. I should have put that.
Well, that's a good like Desert Island one, right? Because there's so much content in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Dang.
But they also come up with like new seasons and updates and stuff as well.
Yeah, that's true.
More interesting.
Hopefully the wizard lets me get on
all
the
right,
internet.
So what's your five?
I think we did it. what did I say? Zelda, Fortnite, Tetris.
No, you didn't say Tetris. You said Puyo Puyo.
Yeah. Zelda, Fortnite. I hate Puyo Puyo. Puyo I'm Puyo. There for Tetris.
You just want the Tetris side?
Smash Brothers, maybe. The NES Online app.
Okay.
Minecraft. Right. Okay, just
that's
move on.
Six.
Terrible.
Keep... You're trying to cheat the white wizard and he's getting mad.
You guys are going to feel selfish playing video games in Wizard World is what I'm telling you. So,
not me. I'm going to feel fine about it. Thank you.
All right, Tom, one of your five games.
You go first because I need to pin down my fifth.
All right. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
Shocking.
Wow. Can't
There's
believe it.
So much content. Like, it would take...
Look, you don't have to sell us on Monster Hunter. What are the other games on your list?
Get all of the things and master all of the different weapons in
It's good
game.
To, like, finally get to know you and, like, the games that you really love.
It's the cool. first time I've heard Casey talking about her love for Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Also,
you should, like, do a wiki or review.
Oh, coming up next,
day.
Pokemon. Ooh.
I can't put Pokemon on the list. It's not out yet.
Let's go Eevee.
No, I'm
Why?
Not.
Why?
It's... There's no breeding. There's only 150 Pokemon. Like... Yeah. Like, it's a good game and I like it, but it's not
it's bait.
One of only five games I'm
it's
ever going to play
it's
for
trap.
The rest of my life game.
That's bait.
Right? Like, I get all the shiny Pokemon, then I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Good.
Great.
Because that gets constant updates and I continue to play it with my friends, and there's a 50 different fighters to get good
at.
Yeah,
I should have put that on my list, too.
This wizard that won't let you go on the eShop, but will let you update your games. And
That's just one game.
They call him the caveat wizard.
The good wizard with caveat.
Uh-huh.
Skyrim, because so much content.
Nice, nice.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Good.
And I'm gonna go out of left field and say Warframe.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because Warframe is another online game that gets updated constantly. That is a ton of content that I can also play with my friends.
Can I tell you guys a weird story?
Yeah.
Sure.
I had a dream the other night that I was playing Warframe. I've never played Warframe. But I had a dream the other night that I was playing it. And when I woke up in the morning, I was like, damn, that Warframe game seems pretty good. Should I play Warframe? It's very strange.
Did you play it?
No.
Oh.
But it was like...
You should play Warframe, Zach.
It was like a couple of nights ago where I was just like, I don't know. I think I had read an article about it before like I was going to bed. And in my dream, I was just playing Warframe. And I was like, I love this game. It's very weird.
Play it. That's your subconscious telling you to play the video game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Tom, what's your list look like?
If I may.
If you may.
The answer to everyone when they ask, should I play Warframe? Yes,
okay.
You should be playing Warframe.
Okay.
Warframe is on my list as well.
Hey.
I really love that game.
We can all play together
game,
after
and
we get cursed.
Yeah. Warframe is for me. Smash Bros. Is an obvious one. Minecraft is actually on my list too because
thinking about that as well.
I used to be mad into that game.
Me too.
All I played, basically. I got into like Redstone programming. You can make your own games and it's crazy.
I did not do all that. That's nuts. I don't even understand the Redstone.
I was a huge nerd when it came to that game. Anyway. I'd choose Binding of Isaac also.
Oh
wow,
Isaac
yeah.
is a really good
Forgot
one
about
me.
That.
And then I'm torn on my last one. Mario Kart would be a really good one. I was interested in Mario Kart. The things I think I'm torn between actually are Towerfall and Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
Because those games don't get updates, but they are two of my favorite games in the world, mm-hmm. and they're two platformers that are I just will play till the end of the earth, and I think I'd probably not get bored of either of them. I think I'd get more bored with Super Meat Boy after a while. Actually, I'd probably get more bored. Like, I'd like the option of Towerfall multiplayer. Like, this is really I know I'm stammering here. This is how it comes, like, processes in my brain, is if someone told me, like, you can never play Towerfall again, I would mourn. I would go into mourning. Like, so I think I can't lose that game from my life. It is one of my favorite games of all time.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a long-winded answer. Yeah. But
it's a good list.
Are there any honorable mentions that you thought about and then didn't put?
Well, after hearing everybody else's list, Diablo? My list is butt, and I should think about it again. Yeah, I would put Diablo on my list. I'd put Smash on my list.
Diablo's a good call.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing.
What's the hard thing?
In hypothetical Wizard World, we're all still friends.
Yeah, that's fine.
We can pass our switches.
No, because
it crashes as soon as you start playing.
They don't know that.
Secret.
If you try to play a game, I can't talk about this
hypothetical wizardry anymore.
One more thing then. So everyone who picked Mario Kart, you failed because that game is most fun with friends and we wouldn't be able to play multiplayer with each other.
No, you can play with each other.
Not everyone in the world got cursed. Only some people got cursed.
I quote from the text. If you try to play a video game, it'll automatically corrupt or stop working. So if Mario Kart was on your list, you could play Mario Kart with other people. But if Mario Kart was not on your list, other people were playing it, if you tried to join, it would stop working.
What if I come over to play Mario Kart with Zach and I just corrupt his game? And I'm like, you only have four games left forever now.
Then you're a jerk. You should know. You should know better.
Well, then you can't pick Mario Kart.
I needed that one.
This curse isn't a secret. The terms are clearly laid out.
No, they're not.
That's on you.
No, there's wiggle room and this is malleable.
Wiggle room would be on my list.
I think that's a good one. Yeah, great Switch indie.
That's a very good one.
Chicken wiggle?
Do we do it?
Chicken wiggle room?
Yeah, that's
good. We did it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken wiggle room.
Well, those are our five games that we would play if we could only play five games for the rest of time on our Nintendo Switch that are out now.
With lots of stipulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we nailed it. I'm glad we only did one question this week because that was tough for all of us.
It's very hard.
It was a very difficult question.
Very tired.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for listening and watching and or both listening and watching. Mm-hmm. This was Nintendo Voice Chat /MVC, IGN's Nintendo podcast. You can catch us every Thursday at 3 p.m. on your favorite podcast listening service or YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, this is the only place you can
get the thing. If the wizard lets you.
Oh, I have such a pounding headache. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah,
I got one of those
why.
Today, too.
Huh?
I don't know. I got one of those today, too. I don't know if there was, like, a gas leak in here.
Oof.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.